What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome to Hollywood and Levine. Here's Ken Levine.
That was Randy Thomas, the voice of the Oscars. She did a fantastic job Sunday night. More diversity is great, unless you have to pronounce all of those names. Happy to say that she did, and she did them perfectly, although really, who the hell would know? I am Ken Levine. Welcome to my annual snarky, bitchy Oscar review. I suffer so you don't have to. The Academy Awards celebrated its 90th edition by being 90 minutes too long. Jimmy Kimmel, I thought, did a very nice job. There were a few laughs, more preaching than a Baptist service, little in the way of surprises and suspense, and for the most part, well, so dull I thought I was watching The Phantom Thread. Cary Grant has never won an Oscar, but Kobe Bryant now has one. Now, in this year of Me Too and Time's Up movements, I guess the Academy forgot about his rape charges in Colorado. But hey, he's the youngest player in the NBA to score 31,000 points. It's Kobe. Meanwhile, the former winner, Casey Affleck, was nowhere to be seen, and Kevin Spacey did not appear in the Best Actor montage. It will be interesting to see if they ultimately make it into the In Memoriam section when their time comes, or maybe there will be a special section for them too, Time's Up. I'm guessing that the ratings will be abysmal since fewer people saw all of the Best Picture nominees combined than the Watch What Whipped Cream Does in a Vacuum Cleaner YouTube video. And the Oscar cast was longer this year than the actual Dunkirk rescue. More on the ceremony later, but first, let's take a look at the red carpet shows. It was unclear how many stars bypassed red carpet host Ryan Seacrest because of his sexual abuse allegations. And I mean, this is like letting Mel Gibson host the red carpet arrival show for the B'nai B'rith Awards. The stars that did snub him, I understand, included Jennifer Garner, Mira Sorvina, Viola Davis, Ashley Judd, Margot Robbie, Sandra Bullock, and all of the women nominated for Best Actress. His only interview for the first 45 minutes was with Sophie Carson, host of All Access. And then he got some music people like Diane Warren, Mary J. Blige, and Miguel. Oh, and Kelly Ripa. That's right. Motion picture superstar Kelly Ripa came to his rescue. E! Instituted a 30-second time delay on the red carpet coverage. Now, this is from a network where it's okay to say shit. And 30 seconds is more than enough time for any actress to change her position twice. ABC and E! Are at the moment standing behind Ryan, but applications are being accepted for all 18 of his jobs. And did you notice during the Oscar cast, in all of the American Idol promos, he wasn't pictured or mentioned even once? Will he ultimately take the fall? We will know next year if Brian Dunkelman returns to host American Idol. And by then, it might be on its third network buzzer. But the good news for Ryan is this finally puts to rest that pesky rumor that he's gay. Meanwhile, over at KTLA Channel 5, not a lot of star power there either. Hosted, as always, by Footstool to the Stars' Sam Rubin and 12-pound co-host Jessica Holmes, they were in mid-Oscar season form. Sam introduced Rafael Sadiq. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing these names correctly, but hey, I don't have to do it like Randy Thomas. He introduced Rafael Sadiq and Tara Stinson as Rafael Sadiq and your friend here. Worse was when he said, here's Bradley Whitford and two of his co-stars. He meant Lil Rel Howery and Betty Gabriel. But even KTLA had no idea who they were. They just posted the graphic, cast of Get Out. They interviewed Eva Marie Saint, who is 93 and still weighs more than Jessica Holmes. She's 93, but Sam said she was 92. And then he said to Miss Saint, who, by the way, is my neighbor, many people are teary today, having read Steve Lopez's story in the LA Times all about you. And to that she said, no, it was all about my husband. Oh, well, at least he knew who Eva Marie Saint was. I think he did. Yeah, he didn't call her Jane Fonda. This year's show was very heavy on issues. Dreamers, diversity, immigration, gun control, women's rights. There are two ways to achieve these lofty goals. Number one, educate and change the mindset of millions of Americans, or two, remove one man from office. Remember at the Golden Globes, all of the women wore black in support of Me Too? Well, supposedly the Academy asked that they didn't do that for the Oscars, so of course they caved, and they all came in bright colors. Understand that in Hollywood, conviction means making Aquaman, even though there are a billion superhero movies already. Usually part of the fun of my snarky reviews is taking shots at horribly dressed women, but, you know, this year, I know I'm going to be called sexist and racist and a body shamer, so I will refrain. Unlike you, who probably took vicious shots in your living room of Andra Day, who wore shower curtains, and Kelly Ripa, whose train made it look like she was dragging a clown, you can say those things. I no longer can. I mean, it would be wrong for me to suggest that Jennifer Lawrence looked like she worked the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard in La Brea. Jimmy Kimmel's opening monologue had some good jokes, I thought. Giving away a jet ski to the winner with the shortest acceptance speech was kind of fun. But if you really want to shorten the program by like a half an hour, don't put the creative arts people in the back rows, or at least provide bird scooters for the visual arts and the makeup people to get to the stage while Faye Dunaway is still awake. Kimmel mentioned that the only two Academy members who had been expelled were Harvey Weinstein, and you know why, and actor Carmine Caridi, who I happen to know. He was expelled for sharing screeners. And as a result of Caridi, housekeepers and gardeners no longer decide the Oscar winners. I was happy with most of the results, although I was rooting for Woody Harrelson. Of the former Cheers cast members, Woody has, I think, the best shot of winning an Academy Award. Unfortunately, in the pool, I have Man Who Said Sinatra. Best Director, Guillermo del Toro. Seems like a genuinely nice man, doesn't he? I mean, Sally Hawkins had to really trust a director to have sex with a fish. I thought the best single line of the night came from winner Allison Janney. She got up and said, I did it all by myself. That's a soundbite that you're going to be seeing for years. Looking spectacular this year was Gal Gadot, Jennifer Garner, Ben Affleck is truly an idiot, Margot Robbie, and Isa Gonzalez. Am I allowed to say that? Am I allowed to like these people? I mean, am I allowed to say that they look great, that they look very sexy? I may get in trouble, but sorry, they look great. Question, do you think Kobe Bryant would have won if he were a member of the Celtics? God bless Eva Marie Saint and Rita Moreno. Miss Saint was elegant and added a real touch of class to the soiree. She got a standing ovation, even though two-thirds of the audience had no idea who she was. Miss Moreno wore the same dress she wore in 1962 when she won. Anyone who can fit into the clothes that they wore in 1962 deserves a second award. In a pathetic attempt to attract younger viewers, the latest Star Wars cast was carted out as presenters. You know, it's kind of like when Ed Sullivan brought out little Topo Gigio. You know, for all you youngsters, Topo Gigio. Yeah, well, by the time the Star Wars cast was announced and came out on stage, it was too late. Their target audience was already watching Bob's Burgers. Many of the speeches I thought were very heartfelt this year, even though I didn't know who the winners were or anyone who they were thanking. But you realize that you are watching the greatest moment of their lives, which is really wonderful, until it becomes the greatest five moments. Frances McDormand, God love her, had the speech of the night. It was insane, but kind of fun, in that Dennis Hopper as King Lupa in the Super Mario Brothers movie way. She left the stage, eventually, with two words, inclusion writer. My two words, what's that? So I got a question for you. Was the bit where Jimmy and a bunch of stars, you know, went next door to unsuspecting people in a movie theater, was that really funny on its own, or just because it was a break from the endless tedium at the Dolby Theater? It gave more camera time to Wonder Woman, so that was a plus. You know, but these bits and lengthy movie montages felt like padding a show that was already hopelessly long. Other than Paul Thomas Anderson, who thinks that's a good idea? Sandra Bullock looks terrific in any light. Again, am I allowed to say that? Viola Davis came as Diana Ross. Now, am I allowed to say that? Jesus, it's the Academy Awards. For the best song performances, get singers who can sing. Both the Mystery of Love and Remember Me singers sounded like a cat getting a bath. Kudos to Mary J. Blige, Andra Day, and Keala Settle for crushing it during their tunes, but of course they lost. Have you ever seen more standing ovations in your life? Christopher Walken got one for still having a career after Peter Pan Live. Mexico got one for not being the United States. Harvey Weinstein survivors Ashley Judd, Annabella Sciorra, and Selma Hayek gave a very passionate speech on the need to end sexual abuse, even though I'm not sure I know the meaning of the word intersectionality that was used as part of the speech. They also introduced a very moving but heavy-handed short film on the movement. But here's the thing. Don't show it to us. Show it to the studio heads. They're the ones who can do something about it. We can tweet and like the tweets. That's it. Meanwhile, I could not fast forward through the Roseanne trailer fast enough. Credit to conductor Harold Wheeler and his expert musicians. Now, they had to play hundreds of music clips with zero notice. There is no time for sheet music. I happen to know Harold Wheeler, and his wife is Hattie Winston, who was on Becker. Anyway, he's a terrific guy. He's been doing it for a number of years. It's a very, very tough assignment. Tiffany Haddish was very funny. Maya Rudolph stood next to Tiffany Haddish. Now, I say this every year. The In Memoriam segment should never cut away from full-frame shots of the people being remembered. And when you watch it, don't you always kind of wonder who's going to be last? Well, for my money, this year it should have been John Mahoney, who, by the way, they left out entirely. Another reason why the ratings will crater this year, there was a time when Tom Hanks was a presenter, and Clint Eastwood, and Elizabeth Taylor, and Jack Nicholson. Now, it's Wes Studi and Danielle Vega. Greta Gerwig now joins Lena Dunham as former Flavors of the Month, but I eagerly await Greta's next project. She's smart, talented, and she's not an attention whore. For example, I bet Greta won't tell the world when she's having a hysterectomy. Best Actor winner Gary Oldman thanked everyone but his four former wives. My daughter Annie points out that if the best editing winner gives a long speech, they should take away the award. How many times did they cut to someone in the crowd and you said, "Who's that?" Next year, that's my Oscar drinking game, and I figure to be smashed by the best sound mixing. Meryl Streep has become the new Jack Nicholson. She sits front row center in a bright red dress, and everyone pays homage to her from the stage. Now, this is a true story. A survey showed that over the last 12 years, more actresses have thanked Meryl Streep than God. And the ones that didn't are now on the Disney Channel. I hate when presenters single people out while announcing the nominees. Here's four directors and Greta Gerwig. Here's four nominees and one trailblazing woman. Well, Greta and the Trailblazer received big applause, of course, as opposed to everyone else. But to me, it's disrespectful to the other nominees who are just as deserving or more deserving. And in the case of this year's Oscars, two of those non-Trailblazers won. Hey, great to see Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty again, Hollywood's version of Sarah Palin and Dan Quayle. They got a standing ovation, I think, for just being lucid. And at least this year, they announced the right winner, which for me was anything but the Phantom Thread. At the end of the day, I envied those people who were in the theater across the street. They got to see a movie, Gal Gadot, and Free Red Vines. And that, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, is my 2018 Bitchy Snarky Oscar Review.
Hollywood and Levine.
Our thanks, as always, to Adam and Susie Meister Butler. A special thanks to Adam, who put this podcast together and got it up real, real quick. Also to Randy Thomas, the voice of the Oscars, Howard Hoffman, and John Wolfert. Next week, actually, I'm going to be coming back in a week and a half, and I've got Ben Mankiewicz as my guest. Ben, of course, is the host of Turner Classic Movies. We're going to be talking TCM, movies in general, the process, lots of things with Ben Mankiewicz when we return for episode 63. Thanks so much for listening. I will talk to you then. Bye-bye, and I leave you now with my Oscar dream.
And the Oscar goes to Ken Levine, the Me Generation by Me.
Tonight, Ken Levine picks up his first Academy Award for the screenplay of the Me Generation by Me, growing up in the 60s.